Good evening. For the Purpose Critique Review Education Positive Vibes, the Shiny Squirrel Podcast proudly presents...
Captain, the aliens have disappeared. And so has the shuttle.
Scan the sector.
I have, sir.
Well, I suppose that is the end of Q.
Au contraire, mon capitaine! He's back!
I'm forgiven! My brothers and sisters of the Continuum have taken me back. I'm immortal again! Omnipotent again!
Swell.
Don't fret, Riker. My good fortune is your good fortune.
I don't need your fantasy women.
Oh, you're so stolid. You weren't like that before the beard. Very well. Q! But I feel like celebrating.
I don't!
All right.
All of it. Oh.
Now, at the risk of being rude.
Yes, once again, I've overstayed my welcome. As a human, I was ill-equipped to thank you. But as myself, you have my everlasting gratitude. Until next time. But before I go... There's a debt I wish to repay to my professor of the humanities. Data, I've decided to give you something very, very special.
If your intention is to make me human, Q...
No. I would never curse you by making you human. Think of it as a going away present.
Data, why are you laughing?
I do not know. But it was a wonderful feeling.
And there you have it. That's right. Our Nerdling Podcast, this episode we are talking about John DeLancey, the actor who plays Q from Star Trek.
Yeah, but he looks awful familiar, like he was on something growing up. I just don't know what yet. My brain won't let it in.
Well, when he was first presented as Q, when he came forth, fans fell in love with him and the character, okay? Let's get into some of the facts. He was born March 20th, 1948. That makes him 70 years old. He was on Star Trek Next Generations, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and he was only in, I come into some conflict about this, only 12 episodes of the whole franchise.
I never watched that franchise, so
yeah.
I couldn't tell you anything about it except...
But like last week we were talking about Kazoo... He was only in 11 episodes or 9 episodes.
Well, maybe they pulled something off of that.
You know, there's something there because this podcast was good. We were going to do a Kazoo versus Q, but instead we're just giving them the standalone. So what is Q? Let me read it right from the Wikipedia page. He's an extra-dimensional being of unknown origin who possesses irreversible powers on humans, notions of time, space, laws of physics, and reality itself. He likes practical jokes for his own amusement. And that's what he is. He's Q. Now, he was going to be, believe it or not, he was actually going to be in a Star Trek movie, The First Contact, from 1996, but he got cut out from the final script.
You know what's amazing about this? There's awful a lot between him and Kazoo, and just their characters. They like to joke. They like the party, the episodes.
There's a little something there that I can't quite put our finger on, but I think they one is divided over the other.
I was just going to say, I wonder if one of the writers wrote and pulled it off of that and little plagiarism.
Yeah, because when you look back at Kazoo, he has the same. He has the control. I'm going to read from the paper. Of space, time, laws of physics, and reality itself. Because he's snapped his finger, he slowed Fred Flintstone down. But it's just, Q is the ultimate, I think, if Q is more powerful than, I want to say, Gazoo.
You think so?
I want to say so, yes. Just because.
Maybe because, maybe the modern, is it, remember the weightlifters used to take steroids?
Yes.
So I wonder what Gazoo... Being, you know, from not into that versus the modern technology, what spiced up Q?
But they do still both answer to higher powers.
Oh.
As in that first clip there, he was saying that he was been reinstated with his immortal ability. But a little bit more about John DeLancey. He's a musician. He's an oboist. He plays the oboe. He is a member of the Philadelphia Orchestra. And he is best known in circles of playing the oboe in worldwide. So let's get to this first clip. This is him talking about being the character Q.
It's been a really good day. I always ask everybody what they do as a profession because it's just interesting to find out what the fans do. And I mean, obviously that there are many of them that would be, as you could expect, sort of in computers or in... writers and things like that, but then every once in a while you find people who do professions that, you know, I've always sort of wondered about. There was one man who came and he drives those big trucks that clean up the streets, so I've always wondered exactly how they work, so he and I had a nice chit chat about that. Well, I think that it came at a time when it provided an opportunity for a very large portion of the population, let's say half of the population, that were not sports fans, and with all of that kind of cultural implication, to have something else to do. And they found the umbrella of science fiction, which allowed for reading, just the nascence of computers that were just coming, certainly science, fiction as an avenue where, you know, fan fiction and stuff like that, and it created this opportunity for a community, and I think that's ultimately it was the perfect thing at the perfect time. I'm God. I'm the God. If people wanted to, with these action heroes and what have you, that you see all the time, you know, everybody wanted to, Superman, you want to be able to fly, and, I don't know, Batman, whatever, and, you know, Spider-Man and all that. I am the ultimate of those, I guess. I mean, I guess that's the fascination. It came to me as a surprise. And it certainly came, I think, as a surprise to Gene Roddenberry that I would become as popular as I did. But when you think about it, I've done, for Next Generation, I did 5 episodes. Not very many. All told, I've done 9 episodes in Star Trek. And yet, people, when I tell them that, will go, oh, no, no, no. Oh, my God, you were in 20 or 30 episodes. And I go, no. In your imagination, perhaps, but not in reality. I think that All Good Things, which was the series finale for Next Generation, was a very good one. I didn't have a huge role in it, but every time you saw the character, it was a new, clear, very well etched facet of this kind of rough diamond. And so I think that was the one that I liked a lot, and the fans seemed to like it as well.
John DeLancey talking a little bit of himself about Q, which I think works well. You're talking about him being...
I honestly knew I seen him. You remember the face. I don't remember names. Mm-hmm. I remember faces. I knew I saw him in some stuff. I mean, he goes back to probably way before this, but The Hands That Rocked the Cradle, Multiplicity with Michael Keaton. I mean, you got Gamer, Get Smart Again, 1989.
Oh, my gosh.
Taking Care of Business, 1990. I'm just saying, plus how many other TV appearances?
He's been a character actor around before Star Trek. Yes. And Star Trek was the canon that shot him out farther.
That's just like they went into warp speed and shot him out with the phasers from the Enterprise.
Exactly.
Wow.
Good way to put it. So, not only has he been doing the Star Trek thing, he's been involved with the writing of the scripts for Star Trek.
You gotta be kidding me. That's awesome.
In 1990, he wrote a comic book called Star Trek: The Gift, which he co-wrote with Leonard Nimoy.
Oh. Now, could you imagine that?
Yes.
Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock, passes away, but you actually have credit with writing a comic book with one of the greatest minds of all time.
Yes, and he even got involved business-wise with Leonard Nimoy, which we'll get to. On an appearance of Voyager as his son, he had his real-life son, Keegan DeLancey, appear as his son in the TV show of Star Trek Voyager. He was Q2.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's a little something a lot of people don't know. You've heard of the men who like the My Little Ponies franchise. They call them bronies.
Yes.
All right, so basically, John DeLancey, he voiced one of the ponies named Discord. This Discord in My Little Ponies. He was the voice, okay?
Do you remember the My Little Ponies?
I remember it because we just grew up with it, but I'm not a brony. I don't watch it or anything.
Funny. Okay? They used to have a cartoon, right?
Yeah. Well, he got around to actually funding in 2012 doing a documentary on it about the bronies.
This is getting better and better because it's getting older. Guys can be allowed to like dolls but not looking sick. But there's something wrong with them. This is great.
In 2012, he started a Kickstarter campaign which raised $322,000. And that is the second highest ever at the time Kickstarter fund for a project. It started by him, okay? So here he is talking about the documentary that he funded or got started for the bronies.
Well, it came to me. I created a documentary on it as well. I produced a documentary on it as well. I mean, it came to me very much as a surprise and somewhat of a phenomena. I mean, when you just say it straight out, you know, what is a brony? A brony is a 20-year-old guy who watches a cartoon intended for 10-year-old girls. You know, you get some raised eyebrows. When people started making fun of that, in this case, news programs in the United States, that's when I decided maybe it was time to do a documentary to give people who, excuse me, they happen to be watching a show which is about being good and kind and generous and honest and loyal and what have you. And if we're going to start making fun of people like that, they need some sort of help. So that's how we ended up making that documentary, or why we made the documentary. And I find it really interesting. And I also recognize them a lot from the, you know, in the same way from here at a Star Trek convention. They were sort of like Star Trek fans. So I'm really glad that I got involved in that. I think people are turning away from religion as a source of moral, as the source of all morality. And I think that they have good reason to do that. We are seeing a lot of examples of the ill use of religion. The show provides sort of a secular moral a series of stories, you know, parables and what have you. And so I think in that way it has become popular amongst a younger generation who, for good reason, have chosen not to have certain associations with organized religion, and yet enjoy the instruction that the show provides, again, to be good and kind and you know, and loyal and what have you. So it also provides community. One of the things that I found to be really fascinating about it is that, you know, you would look at a young man who you would say, well, okay, he's not going to be the, you know, he's not going to get picked for the baseball team, like myself. Or a young girl who you're going to go, well, she's not going to be the prom queen. So where are they going to go? And you think, well, they lead perhaps quiet lives. And what I found really fascinating is that they would go up to their rooms, they would turn on their computer, they would get on Skype, and they had friends all over the world, far more than I have, all over the world, who they would talk to every night, who then, because of this show, they could talk about what the story was about. They could then, many of them very artistic, so that they're showing, you know, they're creating remixes of the music. They're animating a whole different. Some of these animations, Lauren Faust and I, Lauren would say, she said, you know, some of these animations are so well done, they're so sophisticated. These people are essentially professionals, but they're doing it as amateurs. I found all of that really fascinating, especially in light of the fact that the first reaction that you get is, you know, there are 20-year-old guys watching a cartoon for 10-year-old girls. Oh, well, we all know what that means. Well, that, if you were willing to not just look at the cover and open up the pages of that book, you found a fascinating world, and one that I support. So that's why I think, some of the reasons why I think I've touched on that the show has grown to be more than the sum of its parts. Well, of course I have a favorite pony. Me. But I know that, well, you're not really a pony. Oh, well, I'm the favorite character, so there we go. Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of a lengthy, but I wanted him to explain the whole thing. It's best to have him do it.
I wish we had him here because I have a couple of justifications that I would like to explain to him. He is a guy selling a product that he's making a lot of money on.
Yes.
So
he's even pushing it more.
To step in to say that people shouldn't be involved with organized religion is just his opinion and only his opinion. He's pushing himself forward to make a lot of money. So don't get it. You hear this? Don't get it wrong. And I'm not disrespecting him, but that's his opinion. And my opinion is you got to believe in something. Believe in yourself. Believe in God. Whatever you want to believe in. But this guy is pushing a product as anybody else.
As anybody else.
Selling it. So don't get out of.
He's a smart guy.
Yes.
He's always busy.
Yes. But
anyway, there he is. That was him talking about being on the brony. So not only has he done the voice of Discord in the My Little Ponies, he's been done a voice on the cartoons of the Angry Beavers, Duck Dodgers, Invader Zim, just to name a few.
He's had a long track record and run. He's one of Hollywood's successful character actors that are the glue, not the glamour.
And what's cool is he's very involved with his fans. He is involved on Facebook. He is involved with his website. You can look him up at Delancey.com. And on Facebook, he is Official Delancey. So he is involved with his fans. He knows the importance of the fans.
I hope he comes on to the podcast and we can have a little rebuttal me and him. That would be awesome. So that's good. That's good too.
Yes. So was talking a little bit earlier about he went into business with Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
They created a business called All Alien Voice Productions, where they both have love of the novels, the classics, and they would do basically reading books on tape together as the characters. Five novels, they did H.G. Wells to audiobooks. The first was The Man in the Moon, Journey to the Center of the Earth, The Invisible Man, The Lost World, The Time Machine. And all these are available on CD, baby.
Which one was your favorite?
I of those, I've listened to them a little bit, but I have not listened to them doing the readings of those. But if I have a choice of those, The Time Machine.
Oh, that's got to be crazy. Going there. Remember when you were a little kid, they say, keep digging to China. Eventually, you might pass China, get to the middle of the earth.
So here is, this is him and Leonard Nimoy. I want to close out the podcast with this. This is as if Q versus Spock. Okay.
Oh, cool.
This is them at a reading from 2010. It's a long thing. I think it's about a 30-minute to 60-minute broken down into 10-minute sections. But we're going to play the first 5-minute section of Spock meeting Q, as they would do it as, on stage.
Oh, my. Look at this.
A microphone. Quaint. Can you all hear me? I'm from the Continuum, and I've just been dying to meet the legendary Spock. Can I get your autograph?
There is a line, and you will have to join the end of it.
It's so good to meet someone with ego strength.
What must it be like being you?
Would you really like to know?
No.
It's swell. Being Q's just swell. It's clearer than a bell, faster than pell-mell, greater rungs than hell, no need to undersell. It's swell.
Please, please, hold nothing back. Tell us how you really feel.
It's great! Being Q's just great! I never rise to bait. I don't believe in fate. No one calls me late. I'm tough to underrate. I'm great!
What if... No,
go ahead.
Well, what if we were to engage in a sport?
What's in it for moi?
What would you like?
Teach me that mind meld trick.
Ah, you are unable to do that. What a pity. All right, then. Do we have a wager?
Well, which sport do you have in mind?
Checkers?
Too boring.
Blackjack?
I'm shocked! Shocked! That gambling is going on in this establishment.
Perhaps you'd be interested in a verbal joust. You seem to enjoy the occasional riddle.
Hey, hey.
But if you lose...
Oh, I never lose.
Have we begun play?
Yes.
Very well. 9 reasons to save humans. You give me short notice, but... Humans drafted the Magna Carta, invented the abacus, composed the Jupiter Symphony, painted Starry Night, danced the dying swan, built Stonehenge, the Imperial City, the pyramids at Giza, discovered radium, spun sugar into cotton candy, fashioned gutta-percha into a ball, encased it in dimpled white, hit it with a long stick 500 yards into a tin cup, and made the practitioners of this feat rich men. Will this, then, be the end of our wager?
Only if you win, Spock. Take a minute to plan a real stumper.
I have one already, thank you. Now, steady friend, welcomed as remaindered gleam, Earth's enemy, long dead.
Piece of cake. May I say, quite lyrical. Haiku, no?
No.
No? Wait a minute, 17 syllables? What are the other requirements for haiku?
Japanese poetry with a clear picture designed to arouse a distinct emotion and suggest a spiritual insight.
You're saying it's not haiku?
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, just what are you saying?
It is haiku.
What's the matter with you? You said it's not haiku.
Oh, I did not say
that. Stop interrupting. And then you said it is haiku right after you said it wasn't.
Correction. You said it was haiku.
Yes, and you said no.
Yes.
No! You said... All right. What did you say? Say it again.
No.
Why not?
I said no.
I heard you. It's terrible manners to keep saying no.
I'm merely repeating what I said.
Well, don't.
As you wish. Are you conceding the game?
I haven't even guessed yet.
You said it was haiku... No.
Yes.
There you have it.
What?
The concession.
I haven't guessed.
You are a poor sport.
Why?
Evidently it is your nature.
Oh, I give up.
It was a star. Steady friend, remembered gleam.
I knew that.
You guessed haiku.
That wasn't a guess. I was remarking on the form. Haiku, no?
Yes.
But you said no.
Yes.
Oh!
Get a wind of this, baby, will you? Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go.
How do you feel?
Wow! I feel cool, na 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 na. I jump in the pool, na 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 na. I feel whole, na 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 na. So cool, so whole. I'm digging this roll. Ha ha!
All right, so there you go, Spock versus Q.
Who won?
Get it? You know, I think Spock won.
Yeah.
But I love it the way they get it entwined there, a little bit with a who's on first twinge to it. So that is our look at Q, because we're doing a series here. Last week was Gazoo. This time it was Q.
Next week will be R2-D2.
Well, I was thinking we'll stay with the magical ones.
Okay, I was
going
to say two,
we got. Next week is going to be Barbara Eden, Genie.
Bop, bop.
Bing. Tune in next time.
Mr. Nelson.